Blog Talk Radio.
The following program contains adult themes which may be unsuitable for children. Parental discretion is advised.
I've got 99 problems, but a big... Oh, hello there. Well, I guess you're back for another story, huh? This one happened not too long ago. You probably haven't heard about it. It happened sometime after Rudolph became famous. As with a lot of child stars, he had a tough time dealing with it. You see, his parents were managing them. There was a whole... Well, let's just take a look.
Ho, ho, ho. Santa made me go to rehab. He said, ho, ho, ho. Yes, the fan's bad. Yes, it done crashed. Ho, ho, ho. I'd rather be home with my dough, but you kicked me out. I got nowhere to go. Santa made me go to rehab. He said, ho, ho, ho. I dropped my cat on Frosty's back. He said, whoa, whoa, whoa. The other reindeer wouldn't let me play in the game. That's why I started huffing pain. Santa made me go to rehab. He said, ho, ho, ho. I cleaned myself up and now I'm back. Ho, ho, ho.
Merry Christmas!
Warning, parental advisory is recommended. Oh shit, just listen.
Huss! 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 Gobashi Radio Takedown Network.com.
Sasquatch Pro Wrestling.com.
Yo man, I don't think they heard you. Why don't you tell them what your name is?
I'm your host of Debashi's Radio Takedown, the Beast from the Middle East, the Yemeni Maniac, the modern-day Sheikh Dayfullah, the Butcher Dobashi.
Welcome to episode 150. We kind of changed the intro up a little bit. Today's show is going to be a little light. I'm going to do some house cleaning on some emails we have received from the past. Also, for the new year, I have some guests scheduled. The Killer Bee, Bee By and Blair, the original Glow Girl, is going to be back. Sunny, the California Girl, and she will be returning, and she'll be answering your emails on what would Sunny do. Just send all your email questions to radiotakedown@gmail.com. Also, a fellow alumni from Mount Tahoma, Go Thunderbirds, movie director, Alan Esposa, and we're going to have other guests. Just stay tuned. There'll be a lot more to come. We plan to make 2018 even better. Okay, on Monday's episode of Love Lock with myself and Thunder Rosa, you know, I let everyone know I was humbled. I talked about how humble I was about the DuPont Washington Amtrak derailment onto I-5, you know. I was counting my blessings, and I really don't want to repeat what I said, so you can go back and listen to Lovelock episode 27. Matter of fact, you can go to Debashi Radio Takedown Network.com, and it's posted there, or you go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from. I just want to send all my prayers out to everyone out there that's been affected by this tragedy. And I know they're asking for people to donate blood. Also, beware of scammers. There's some scumbags out there trying to collect donations for this situation. Just please do your homework. Don't just give your money out to anyone. Do your homework. Also, December 30th, Rose City Wrestling was postponed in Portland, Oregon. Of course, I was in the main event. And it was postponed, and I will have the new date, hopefully, by our next episode. You know, the holiday season is almost over. Not only you can get your latest episodes at links, you could... Yeah, I know most of you, you already shop on Amazon.com. Amazon Canada, and Amazon UK. So when you go to DobashiRadioTakedownNetwork.com, that's DobashiRadioTakedownNetwork.com. Like I said, not only do you get the latest episodes and links, click on to the proper Amazon link. We will get credit, and it will not cost you any more. It'll just cost the same like you went shopping on Amazon without going to my website. So go to my website, and we'll get the credit, and this will help keep these shows free for all your listeners. You know, I do, and we all appreciate your support. You know, please spread the word. You know, you can listen to us on our website. You can go to Apple Podcasts, Blog Talk Radio, and anywhere you get your podcast from. Follow, rate, and subscribe. Like I said, it's absolutely free. Okay, we will take the first caller to answer this question correctly, or our first emailer, whatever comes first, for a free t-shirt courtesy of Sasquatch Pro. All right, the question is, I know this is hard to believe, but the question is, who defeated myself for the UIWA F the Rules American Outlaw Championship? F the rules, as for forget the rules, but I say fuck the rules. Now, like I said, the first caller to call in or email us at radiotakedown@gmail.com will win. All right, you know, that's enough. We're going to go to our break, and I'll be right back, and we will answer your emails.
Hey, man, you want to go out and get a beer and burn one or something?
I can't, man. The police, they got my car.
What do you mean the police got your car?
Just what I said. The police got my car.
The police got your car?
You stupid ass. The police, they got my car.
Dude, I can't believe the police got your car.
Ah, shut up, man.
Police got my car. Police got my car. Police got my car while I was driving home from the bar.
Dude, that really sucks.
Police got my car. Police got my car. The police got my car while I was driving drunk from the bar. Son of a bitch, I want my Chevy for Christmas. I want my friggin' 60 Chevy for Christmas. You stupid dick, I want my Chevy for Christmas so I can go drink at the bar. Son of a bitch, I want my Chevy for Christmas. I want my friggin' 60 Chevy for Christmas. You stupid dick, I want my Chevy for Christmas so I can go get drunk at the bar. Police got my car. Police got my car. Police got my car while I was driving getting stoned in South Central.
Dude, that don't rhyme.
Shut up, man. Police got my car. The police got my car.
The police got your car?
Police got my car while I was driving home drunk from the bar.
You got a dewey, man.
You stupid dick, I want my Chevy for Christmas. I want my friggin' 60 Chevy for Christmas. I told my bitch I'd have my Chevy for Christmas so we could get drunk at the bar. You stupid dick, I want my Chevy for Christmas.
Who's dick, man?
I want my friggin' 60 Chevy for Christmas. Son of a bitch, I want my Chevy for Christmas so we could go get drunk at the bar.
Calm down, man.
Ah, shut up, man.
You've got mail.
Welcome back. Like I said, we're going to answer emails. I don't know if you guys recognize that little sound bite. Let me do it again.
You got mail.
It's from the infamous AOL. I understand it's not around anymore, but I'm going to do it one more time from memory.
You got mail.
One more time to make
sure. You got mail.
All right. Well, guess what? We got an email that just came in. It's for our question. Now, the question was for the free T-shirt courtesy of Sasquatch. Sasquatch Pro is, like I said, it's hard to believe. Who defeated me, myself, for the UIWA Fuck the Rules American Outlaw Championship? say it, you are not correct. And this is from Gemma Lee from Gresham, Oregon. And her answer was Psycho Sailor. Well, you know, I think I got a buzzer for that. Where's that buzzer? Here we go. Oh, sorry, you didn't get it. So anyways, all right, well, like I said, we'll take the first caller or the first email that answer it correctly. I sound like Elmer Fudd. All right, let's do some house cleaning. This first email is from Tammy from Spokane. What's up, Tammy? This is Tammy. I'm going to give a shout out to you real quick. She's a big supporter of our, the network. She always emails Love Lock with Thunder Rosa and myself. And I guess if you listen to the past episode, she had a thing for my voice. There's the whole, I won't get into it right now, but what's up, Tammy? But anyways, her email says, Debashi, were you ever involved in any pranks or ribs, that's what your wrestlers call it, which sticks out in your mind? Okay, Tammy. Well, actually, yes. My brother in blood, Mr. Chief Atakulakula. You know, before we became partners, you know, we became best friends. I was the best man at his wedding, But the PWI did a whole spread on us. We had the best of 13 series or whatnot. And he was the AIWF world champion. I was a North American champion. So they had a big anniversary show in Mount Airy, Pennsylvania. Or I'm sorry, North Carolina. You know, Mayberry, home of Andy Griffin. Matter of fact, I went to the Aunt B restaurant there. Pretty damn good. Well, anyways. It was a two-night event, and of course, we were in the main event in a hardcore match for the world belt. So the first night, it was like the Legends Hall of Fame. So the promoter came up to us and said, hey, once you guys do a promo out in a ramp, they had like a ramp, like a WWE ramp with the big Titantron or whatnot. Titantron wasn't as big as the one WWE, but, you know, it was a pretty good setup. So we said, okay. So we went out there ad lib. I was dressed up in my suit and turban. Chief was, you know, dapper as he was self. So as they were putting up the ring, you know, we started doing our bit. And I spit water on the Chief, and Chief goes, push me. So, of course, we like to work snug. I pushed him, and the way he stumbled up, back from the ramp, he fell off this ramp, and you know, Chief's well over. I'm bad with weight. I'd say 300 pounds. I don't know. He's a big guy, and built, and so he stumbles back, and he's tangled up in all the cords, and he's coming crashing down. The Titantron comes crashing down on top of him. I thought I killed him, and I just looked at him in maze, and I was like. So he dropped like 15, 20 feet straight onto the concrete. I just looked at him. I didn't know what to do. I went back into the dressing room. I went livid. I said, I think I killed him. I killed Chief, my best friend. I killed him. Start flipping things over, and all the promoter could say is, who's going to face Debashi in the main event? And Chief was there selling, and there even the ref came up to him, and everyone, are you okay? They called the ambulance. You know what? Next thing you know, I looked at him. He comes walking in the dressing room up the ramp as they carried him up. And I'm flipping out, tearing every place apart. He goes, I love you, buddy. He didn't even get hurt. Everyone thought, oh, man. And the worst thing about it, no one had it on film. No one had it on film. And they sold tickets. We sold that place out. And, yeah, it was, I mean, me describing it doesn't do it justice. If you would see him, you would have thought he was dead. It was almost an impact like someone saw Mick Foley falling off top of the cage onto the announcer's table. It wasn't, you know, that far of a drop, but I mean, it was something else. Oh man, I was pissed off for a while, but I just remember he goes, "I love you, man. You know," he walks in, he goes, "I love you, buddy." And my heart just, I was pissed. I wanted to kick his ass, but yeah, we had some fun times. Some fun. That was, and Sam Moon. Oh my gosh, I didn't eat meat and potatoes for a month. That's another story for another day. So yeah, that was probably the biggest prank or rib ever pulled on me. I thought I killed the chief. All right. Brandon June from Kansas City. Mr. Debashi, I watched your YouTube clip from your promotion in the 90s where Playboy Buddy Rose and Buddy Wayne broke your ring. Can you talk about it? Also, do you have any Buddy Rose stories? Well, thank you for that question. Matter of fact, I do. We'll go back. That was my very first event I promoted, and I believe it was August 2nd or 7th, 1992. And there was no wrestling in Tacoma for a long, long, long time since Don Owens ran. So I ran my first card. So the first night was like a tournament for the UIWA. Has nothing to do with the UIWA now. We were the Universal Independent Wrestling Alliance. And I believe it was the finals. And I think second match, and let's back up a little, was Michelle Starr and I think versus Tommy Justice, and the ring broke. And I mean, we had a sold out crowd, probably had 600-700 people or more. Anyways, in that bingo hall, and everyone loved wrestling so much. They said they were awesome that night. So my dad pulled his connections, knew someone at the lumber yard. The security called them. They brought lumber in. About an hour, 15, hour and a half later, we got the ring put back up. The fans helped put the planks on. It was awesome. So anyways, we went on, had the rest of our show. So the last show of the night, well, let's take that back. So we had intermission early, and we had Buddy Wayne, all the faces, sign autographs. Here comes Buddy Rose coming down, and him and Buddy Wayne brawled all over the arena. I mean, we were hardcore before hardcore. We were hardcore. This was before ECW, man. And so anyways, they battled all over the arena. Okay, so the last match of the night, Buddy Rose versus Buddy Wayne. They went at it within a couple minutes of the match. I think Buddy Wayne went for a clothesline, and the whole ring just collapsed, and they went berserk. Buddy Wayne was all just punching Buddy Rose. He was sunk through the middle of the ring, and I mean, they brawled all over. I mean, that was like an exciting night. Like I said, this was hardcore before ECW. Broomsticks, trash cans, it was awesome. And you could see that clip on YouTube. And so that was the story of the night. See, what happened was I bought the ring from someone that used to have WWE guys come to his house and stay, and they used to train in it, I guess. But he said he had, you know, these superstars taking bumps and stuff. So, but everything was pretty much made out of wood. And so that's why it broke. I could go into another story. I'll cut it short. That's another time, man. Man, I could do an 8-hour episode on the making of the first show. But my Buddy Rose story. So Buddy Rose, I think Ed Moondog Moretti, they had a show up in Canby, Oregon. So they rented my ring, and I was going to work or ring announce or whatnot. So we traveled down there, and that was like the weekend from hell, because a buddy of mine borrowed his friend's flatbed to transport our ring. So I was like, as we were driving down to Medford, Oregon, we stopped at this little mom and pop restaurant over on the pass over there, and deathly sick. So by the time we got to the place, the fairgrounds where we were going to run our show, I got deathly sick. I couldn't even do the first show. I was so sick. I went back to the hotel room, and Buddy Rose and them kept on checking up on me. And I mean, my temperature was probably like 104, 105. They were getting scared. I mean, my crap was just like thinner than water, you know. And so anyways, and everyone that knows Buddy Rose, they know how he drives. He drives out of bat out of hell, boy. He could drive, boy. So they didn't want to call an ambulance. They just said, we got to get DeBosch to the hospital. So Buddy Rose got me in his car, hightailed it to the hospital. So I'm sitting there, and I'll never forget this. You know, Buddy Rose, real nice guy. He was looking out for me. He was really worried. So I'm sitting here in the ER, and, you know, I had the ER gown on, you know, with the butt flaps open, and Buddy Rose almost puked because I couldn't hold anything in. So every time they put IV in me, get me some fluids, I had to run to the bathroom, and I remember I had little Pac-Man drops coming out of my butt going to the bathroom, almost looked like, you know, little dots I was leaving, rabbit turds, but it was all liquid, and I remember Buddy just looking at it, almost puked, you know, and yeah, oh, that was a night from hell. And then all the money that I made that night had to go into the ring truck because the clutch went out, and we had to buy a new clutch and get stuck there for a couple of days. That's a whole nother story. And then another thing is, you know, we had a family business. I'll never forget the time, it was cool. Buddy Rose would always come over, get some drinks, and chill in the office, and we'd go back there and talk about wrestling and what we're going to do on the next show. And he'd always, like, go up to the Mariners game. So he'd come up from Portland, from Portland. He'd drive up to Washington, come to the store, chill, eat, drink, and then head up to the Mariners game. Yes. There's another story. Buddy Rose was the first person to give me color, but I'll keep that for another episode. I got a lot of Buddy Rose stories. Rest in peace, my brother, and you too, Buddy Wayne. All right. Kim Rue from Nashville, Tennessee. What was one of your scariest moments that happened while you were in the wrestling ring? Thank you, and keep doing what you do. Well, Kim Rue, funny that you asked. Remember when I told you about when Chief Atakula played that prank on me just a few minutes ago in Mount Airy, North Carolina? Well, in that same match, what had happened was during the match, you know, we had all the tacks down. I already had DDT'd him and some tacks. And I took the American flag and I was trying to light it on fire. I couldn't light it on fire. I wasn't really going to do it, but I couldn't get it lit. But I was, who knows? I was crazy. Maybe I would have lit it on fire, but I really doubt it. But anyways, I was trying to light it on fire, and I'm sitting here, and next thing you know, we had all this heat, people cussing me out, and, you know, it was a redneck territory and this crazy Arab, you know. And I'm sitting here trying to light the American flag on fire. When they saw that flame coming out of that big lighter, the whole arena got silent. It was a packed arena. It just got silent. And it was like white heat. It was like white noise. I mean, it was silent. And then all the hairs on my arms start going straight up. And I hear this big light lady, toothless lady in the front going, "Oh, no, DeBosch's not going to do that." And then I heard people say some stuff like they wanted to kill me. I mean, I was like, geez, I mean, it was just odd. It was odd. And then next thing you know, we did the finish and went home. And That was probably the scariest thing of everything. I guess what they call white heat or white noise. But, yep, I almost got lynched. Another story, too. Right before that, we went to Kmart. We're looking for some little American flags. And because, you know, did it, you know, cheap, stapled some on my forehead. I stapled some on his ass. And when I went in there, I wore my turban, you know, because I am my gimmick. I am Defila Dabashi. And so I walk in, and, you know, this is before I had my hearing aids, you know, and the guy looks, I guess, Sam Moon, meat and potato Sam Moon, and Chief, you know, they were laughing at me, and they were like, "You hear what they said?" I said, "No." And when I asked him for flags, you know, of course, we were looking for American flags, but he saw my turban on, and he goes, "We don't have them kind of flags for them kind of people." And he goes, "Go look over there or something." And they were laughing, but they were kind of pissed. And then I remember after they told me and ribbed me, I went up to him. I said, "Do you have a problem?" I said, "What kind of flags would you think I was looking for?" And I said, "I'm looking for American flags." But I said, "Matter of fact, do you have any Yemen flags?" And he just kind of looked at me. But then a couple of the boys told me, too, "Yeah, man, you got to watch out in these territories." Yeah, you know, I don't know. But, yep, I could have got lynched in Mayberry, if you know what I mean. All right. Let's see. Next question is from Jay Livingston. And it's from Newport, Pennsylvania. And it says, "To see you're still around. Last time I saw you was about 2005 in Newport, Pennsylvania. I was asked to ask you about the April Fool's gimmick, Dr. X incident. Happy birthday, Huss." Oh, brother. Okay. April Fool's, we were running a show at the Puyallup Armory in Puyallup, Washington, right by the fairgrounds. Well, we had this local paper. Of course, I was promoting this too, and there was a local paper that came, and they wanted to do a story on Dr. X. I won't say his real name because we're all cool now, but people in the Northwest knows who Dr. X is. And the thing is, he took a magazine of top five all-time mask wrestlers. And it said Dr. X number five. So when he did his interview, he was saying he was Dr. X. So anyways, they did the interview and promoted the show. And I went up to him. I said, "Hey," I said, "you can't be saying that. You know that you ain't that Dr. X." And so anyways, you know, things were said. And I guess he went at the time, you know, the commission was really corrupt. A magazine did a story on it when I promoted. Anyways, he went to the commission. He tried to sabotage the show, said some lies and all this and that, and trying to get the show shut down just because I confronted him about lying about he was the original Dr. X. So anyways, he came. I ended up saying, you know, "Come on, it's cool. Just, you know, come on and come to the show." So I told all the boys, we had Playboy Buddy Rose, we had Moondog Murray, we had Buddy Wayne, we had, matter of fact, Dale Houston was there that night, Randy Taylor, there are some others, Kenny Roberts. Anyways, so I told the boys, I told the ref, I said, I gave him a pair of handcuffs. And I see some callers on the line, and we'll get to you shortly. Let me get through these next few emails. So anyways, I told the ref, just keep the handcuffs. So I told the boys, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to wrestle Rick Lee, and basically I shot on him. So what happened, me and him was in the first match, and he thought that he was going over. But he actually tried to shoot on me in the beginning. So anyways, I shot at him, threw him outside, handcuffed him to the ring. Under the apron, his arms are under the apron, and I handcuffed him, you know. And then I start whacking with the chair. I told the ref to count him out. And then I grab the microphone, cut a promo on him, and I go, you know, April Fool's Dr. X, I'm going to expose you for the real scumbag you are. And this is for the real Dr. X. And what I did, I unmasked him. And he looked like he was about to cry. That's for stooging on us, trying to sabotage our show, and for the retired Dr. X. And then I left him there. And his wife wanted to call the cops. The security was the actual National Guard Armory. They were there, and they knew that wasn't part of the show. And I said, nope, he's staying there. So it's funny. When Moondog came out, all the wrestlers start spitting on him and kicking him, Big Red Wrecking Crew. And I left him there to the main event. And, boy, he was there for a good couple hours. So finally they unhandcuffed him. I was in the dressing room taking a shower. Kenny Roberts comes up, hey, Debashi, Rick Lee's there. And he comes walking out the bed. I go straight in front of all the boys, and I said, you motherfucker, you know why I did that? Because you're a stooge. You try to sabotage us. You lied about Dr. A matter of fact, he talked about my mom. He said something about my mom that pissed me off. And I flipped over the table. I said, come on, you want to go right now? Fucking shoot on me right now. And he just looked at me and goes, I just want to shake your hand, almost crying. I tell him, he was pathetic, get out of my face. And Moondog Moretti looked right at him. He goes, Rick Lee, if it was back in the day, a promoter probably would have had a bullet in your head, because, you know, the wrestling community was like mafia. And, oh, yeah. And so then got dressed, and then he went out, and he came try to buck up to me in front of the fans. I said, come on, let's go outside. Try to take him outside. He got scared, and it took him a good 2 years. He tried to go wrestle for Sandy Barr and did a little bit of stuff. A couple years later, he made amends and stuff. But, yeah, he got what he deserved. And anyways, a couple more emails. I'll get to you, callers. Got two more here. This one's from Tamara from Salem, Oregon. Because I'm a big original World Powers fan. It was great to see you in the Hunger Slam for WCWC. I see Chief Atakula Kula is wrestling in the NWWA. Why isn't his best friend you alongside him? I know a lot of fans were disappointed that a few months ago that you weren't his mystery partner at the NWWA event. Let me know when the next Rose City Wrestling is, and if you are there, I am buying a ticket. And that's from Tamara from Salem, Oregon. You know what? I don't know why. You know, me and the Clossers, I want to say happy anniversary. I think it was yesterday, their wedding anniversary. You know, I was good with them and stuff, but apparently I have heat somewhere. I don't think I have heat with Dan and Deb Closser, but I got heat, I don't know, in the booking committee. But you know what? Life is short. I'm having fun wrestling other places. I wish the NWWA all the best. I wish BCW all the best. I wish WCWC all the best. I wish all the promotions the best in Oregon. But if you got heat with me, which I haven't did anything, I say a big fuck you. But like I said, I wish all the best. And, you know, hey, you know, I'm not a voluntary wrestler. I'm a professional wrestler. That's another big pet peeve. You know, I can understand wrestlers, doing what they got to do, rookies, you know, paying their dues, handshaking a hot dog for the PR one. That's great. But when you've been doing it for a while, you know, you get what you pay for. Everyone's worth something. And like I said, volunteer wrestlers volunteer their time. Professional wrestlers are professional. They get paid. You know, people might say you're a sellout, but look, boxers, kickboxers, MMA, basketball players, football players, they have passion for what they do, but they're not going to do it for free. The best thing to do is make money what you love to do. And, you know, I love professional wrestling. And real quick side note, I wrestled full-time in Michigan, you know, had a good run there. And you know what killed it? Backyard wrestling. Like Michigan and a few other states, you know, they don't have to be licensed. And oh, you know, they want to do this hardcore shit and hire their friends. And then, you know, where it was prosperous and good crowds with trained professional wrestlers, and then these organizations come in and put crappy wrestling, and they wonder why they're not drawing fans. And then next thing you know, they associate that effed up promotion with other ones and just hurt the industry. So that's my biggest pet peeve. You know, like I said, I'm a professional wrestler, not a volunteer wrestler. So anyways, I got one more, and this is from a good buddy, Frank the Trucker, from his Mack truck. You know, he's a longtime listener and emailer also, and I haven't heard from you a long time. Nice to hear from you, buddy. Can you tell me about your very first wrestling match? Thank you. Keep on bumping, and I'm glad Lovelock's back on. And give a shout-out to Fandorosa. I will. As a matter of fact, I'll tell her tomorrow morning when I call her. Well, my very first match, make a long story short, one of my trainers, Luscious Donnie Graham, he did a movie called, The Manhandler. And so they had a big movie production, you know, what do you call it? A production party when the movie's done taping. It went straight to VHS, but it was a movie, you know, about wrestling. Filmed here in the Northwest and a few other places, Canada and stuff. So they had a big production meeting on his property. So my very first match was me and this guy named Tex. Not Tex Thompson. This guy was Tex. He was actually a doctor, and he was a doctor at the shows. Matter of fact, he promoted was the doctor for Canna Promotions. Matter of fact, I was talking with someone about Bob Canna promoting years ago. But anyways, we had a tag match, and the guy was the drizzling shits. And I mean, I wasn't that much more better, but hey, I looked believable, and I did what I did. And so it was against me. It was me and Tex versus Kenny Roberts and Luscious Donnie Graham. Anyways, after the match, the guy pissed me off so much, I started shooting on him and the next thing you know, I had a second match with me and Tex, and it was kind of veering off, but it was the drizzling shits. But hey, the guy got a broken nose out of it. I'm not proud of it, but it was what it was. Matter of fact, I have it on VHS sometimes. Maybe I'll just copy and put it online and show it to you guys. But yeah, I got some heat for attacking my partner, but like I said, he pissed me off because he looked bad, made me look bad, made us all look bad, but I guess they all glad I did it. And so I actually won my second match. Anyways, that's about it. But all right, we're going to go to our caller now. I'm sorry if I was long-winded. You know, I said the show's going to be a little light. I think that's all the emails. And we'll go to our caller. All right, you on the air. How you doing?
Not too bad. How are you doing?
Great, great. Who's this?
This is MB from Portland.
Oh, great, great. Are you calling for the trivia question? Who defeated myself for the UIWA Fuck the Rules or Forget the World's Champ American Outlaw Championship?
I am, in fact.
All right. Well, let me get my sound effect ready. So what's the answer?
The answer to that is Max Burnside.
All right. You got it right. So I guess when we go off the air, you know, we'll get your information. But wait a minute. You do sound kind of familiar. Do I see you at the matches or anything like that?
Yeah, you could say that. Or you could say you saw my foot coming towards your face.
I don't know. What the fuck? What? Is this Max?
Hey, Dobashi. How's your face doing?
You know what? I give you some credit, partner. I give you some credit. You beat me at my own game for this time, but, you know, I'm kind of speechless right now. So you come on. You weren't invited on this radio, on this podcast, and you come on and you try to act like a fan. I mean, what are you trying to do? Why don't you be a little professional?
Well, I mean, you give an open number to the public to call. Technically, I am part of the public. So it's all just a part of this little game, you could say, that I'm not necessarily trying to play, but trying to get you to play, because as cynical as you are, I already have to be two steps ahead of you, so I've got to do things to keep you speechless and to keep you on your toes, because if not, then...
You know what? Where are you right now? You know, I want the, you know, I want what's mine. Where are you right now?
Oh, I bet you would love to know exactly right where I'm at.
Listen, you little punk. Once you be a man and show, I'll give you the address to my compound. Come to my compound. We'll videotape. We'll do whatever. We don't even have to tape it. I just, you know what? You know what? It's a personal vendetta right now. Allah wa akbar anabak til ya wasak ya hamar.
I have no idea what you just said, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't good.
Listen. You better watch your back. You know, you say, you know, you were going to be over there up at that Cascade Championship Wrestling. I was about to travel hours over there to beat your ass and come to find out that you weren't there. I don't know why you weren't there. I don't know if this is just mind games you're trying to play. But you know what? I'm going to track you down. Why don't you tell me where you're at right now?
I'm in Portland. Right now, I'm in Portland. Where in Portland? I'm not telling you because I think you know where I'm at in Portland. So I'll give you the chance to come find me.
You know what? You know what? What's today? Thursday night, Friday, Saturday. Mark my words. In the next couple of days, I'm going to give myself my own Christmas present. What do you think about that, son?
Hey, you may be giving me a Christmas present. That may depend.
Okay, hey, try to track. Hey, yo, track his number. Yeah, go on and try to. Yeah, I told. Well, you didn't put it on mute. Oh my God. You know what?
No.
You don't go track his number. You know what? I know where you're at right now. I know where you're at. Well, okay, why do
you know that
call?
You know where
since
I'm at
here,
right now.
Since you're on here, let me tell the fans if they don't know who is this already. This is the UIWA, Fuck the Rules, American Outlaw Champion. Yes, in Salem, Oregon a few weeks ago. Yeah, he beat me at my own game. He kicked me right in my face. And, yes, he had a referee. And, yes, he pinned me 1, 2, 3 onto the floor, and he left. But by the time I knocked the cobwebs out of my head and got some food in me, I was hot on the I-5 corridor looking for you. So mark my words. You know how when the SEAL Team 6 was tracking Bin Laden? Faithful of the Butcher, the boss will be tracking Max Burnside.
I don't doubt it. I do not doubt it one bit. You maniacal... cynical son of a bitch, you. I already know.
I'm a son of a bitch.
Yep. I love it, though, because I love how cynical. This is exactly what I wanted. I wanted to see how cynical you could become.
You know, I am an American citizen. You can't treat me like that. Just because I could prove I'm better American than you are, just because I could prove I'm better American than 95% of the people in the United States of America, the only better Americans, the Americans that are equal to me are the Native Americans. We are side by side because we are persecuted by the color of our skin, not by the judgment of our character. And you know what? I'm sick and tired of you people like you putting us down. Take it. You took away my championship title just like you took away the land from the Native Americans. And I am going to put a stop to this.
Hey, whatever you have to tell yourself to fuel the fire, because I already know I'm probably going to see you in Portland in the next few days.
You know what? I'm sick and tired of this. You know what? That's enough. You know what? Is that all you got to say? Is that all you got to say before I shut this bitch down? Because I'm going to shut this bitch down so this the bitch I'm talking to can get off.
See you soon, Dobashi.
You know what? That's enough. That's enough. You know what, fans? I am terribly sorry. That was Max Burns. And you know what? He wants a shirt. I'll personally hand deliver the shirt. You know, if you're going to be in Portland, I'm going to personally deliver that shirt. Just mark my words. Just watch social media. Just watch. I'm going to get my UIWA North American Heavyweight Championship back. And I'm going to prove to me I'm going to get my championship back. Just like the Native Americans will get their rightfully their land back. You know what? Please spread the word. The Dobashi Radio Takedown Network. You know what? Until next week, ring the bell.
That's all, folks.
This has been a Seesaw Dynamite production.
Dobashi Radio Takedown Network.com.
SasquatchProWrestling.com.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.
The clouds and we're together.
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.
Some trails are happy ones,
others are blue.
If the way about the car.
the wind.